Well, I'm your worst nightmare because I think I have far too many slides to get through. So we'll try. If I skip some, I'm happy to share the presentation with anybody that wants it. But we might have to get through it. Okay. I don't have any financial disclosures, but I do want to say that this study was funded by the Center for Women and Gender at Utah State University. So much of what we've already talked about in some of the other presentations have come up, so I'll go over this quick. I think I'm preaching to the choir here. We all know there's health disparities related to men. Life expectancy is shorter, higher death rates in several key areas, and possible reasons include these masculinity constructs, but also less frequent healthcare visits, delay in seeking healthcare, more risk-taking behavior overall, and avoidance of health education. Again, masculinity health behavior has been put out as a possible explanation for these health disparities. And as we pointed out in some of the discussion, masculinity is a socially constructed variable. It's dependent on time, culture, locale. It's also on a continuum. So adherence to masculine gender scripts can vary from individual. There's no generic man out there, so we need to remember that masculinity can change. Even within the sample that we studied, clearly responses to masculinity change depending on who they were with. Men who identify with hegemonic masculine traits, the kind of a higher end level of masculinity, we do know underutilize healthcare and engage in more risk-taking behavior. And kind of recently in the research on masculinity, the concept of masculine capital has been researched more and more. And we were very interested in this concept as well. So masculine capital, sometimes referred to as man cards, even in the literature, is credit or insurance that can be used to compensate for traditionally non-masculine behavior in other domains. So if a man is not displaying hegemonic ideals, they can make it up in other areas because they do so. So example, if a man isn't very good at sports, for example, but they are very successful in their career, they can save their man points or man card. Recent research has found that men who engage in health promotion practices maintain masculine capital by viewing it as a rational choice, which is also, like you mentioned, very much a masculine trait. If healthy behaviors is in the context of work, such as I need to be physically fit for my job, then you can also maintain masculine capital. Also in the research that we've done, we found, and others have found, that marriage is very beneficial for men's health. It's also beneficial for women's health, but it seems to be a little bit stronger relationship for men. And multiple studies have found that women play a key role in men's health in several ways. Persuading men to seek medical attention early when they might otherwise not do so. Assisting in interpretation of symptoms, medical advice, and compliance, as women seem to be a little bit more savvy in the healthcare system. Encouraging health-promoting behaviors of their spouse. So all of these things came together in this study. We were also interested in the role of spousal support and control, so this is kind of the carrot and the stick. So it seems like spouses sometimes provide spousal social support to encourage their spouses to engage in positive health behaviors, but they also are engaged in social control. This has been linked to greater compliance to healthy behaviors and discourages unhealthy ones for men. And men report higher levels of social control, being recipients of social control, and their spouse is often that mean of social control. So the purpose of our study was to gain a greater understanding of how wives exert social control over spousal health behaviors, if at all, and to examine how men maintain masculinity, specifically masculine capital, when wives describe desire health behavior change in their husbands. We wanted to look at Emberson's 1987 social control model to do this. And we modified this model, so let me just go to the modified model. So Emberson proposes that family relationships, being a spouse, being a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, those comes with meaning, both internally and externally to an individual. And in turn, if we don't meet those obligations, there is social control that is exerted on individuals. In this case, we were most interested in spousal social control. And that social control can impact health behaviors, which in turn can impact actual physical health. We wanted to modify this model as one that we could look through a gender lens. And so we looked at both masculine capital and masculinity as impacting these social control features. Okay. So we went through the usual rigmarole. Got IRB approval, pilot tested our discussion guide, We recruited men not only on USU campus, but also in the community, and we paid men $20 to attend the focus groups. Our final sample was of 44 men. We did 5 focus groups that ranged in length from an hour and a half to 2.5 hours. Our age range was 21 years of age to 82 years of age, with a pretty young sample, mean age of 32, and a median age of 27. 30% were married less than 1 year, and 30% were married 1 to 5 years. So it was a pretty recently married group, which I think in the long run helped us, because as one man who had been married over 50 years said, well, my wife probably does tell me what to do, but I don't even know how she does that anymore. So 90% were white, and 52% were enrolled in school full-time, and another 40-something percent were enrolled part-time. So it was largely a student sample. 82% reported being members of the Latter-day Saint religion or Mormon religion, which, collecting data in Utah, that's not really surprising. And 95% had not been previously married. Okay. So we did the same things that the other study did. We transcribed the video and audio. We looked for checks that that was correct. We looked for thematic codes in the data, and we used Umberson's model to further analyze the data. Okay. So in our results, when we asked men how did their wives, if at all, influence their health behavior, the things that often came up were diet and physical activity, which we've seen in previous research when we ask men about health, they usually think of diet and physical activity. So those things came up. But it was not always in positive ways. So we weren't looking for, like, women as saints or saviors of men. Sometimes they're helpful, sometimes they're not. So here's an example where maybe a wife was not so helpful. So the guy said, every time we go out, she'll always expect me to eat half her food. And then even with home, she's cooking, my plate's always bigger than her plate. That's just the way she portions it out. The last 6 months, I've been telling her no, and she kind of argues with me that I won't eat her extra food. So we see that in the literature that that often people even gain weight after marriage, so maybe this is part of that phenomena. but here's an example where wives seem to be positively changing her husband's behavior. I was a big white bread fan, but now I instinctively go to the grocery store and I pick up the wheat bread without even thinking. Another theme related to physical activity was wives were not particularly helpful, and that marriage really reduced their time in being able to engage in physical activity, and they did miss that. So here's an example. I have an early morning class, and I like to have my workouts in the morning, and she wants to sleep, so it's hard to get up and get out of bed when she's holding on to you and keeping you in bed. And that came up a lot. These were pretty newly married people. Okay. Seeking medical care. This was pretty interesting. Wives did encourage men to seek care when they would not have otherwise done so. One study I read called it the nag and drag, and I thought that was pretty good. I have to give credit to our men in our focus group. Not once did they say the word nag, which I thought was very diplomatic of them. I think the thing that affects me going to the doctor is if my wife is really concerned, that's the only reason I've gone, is because she says, you really need to go get that checked out. I'm worried that it's going to be something serious, but that's really like the only reason why I go and get stuff checked out. So that was a consistent thing. I'll do it if it gives her peace of mind, but I wouldn't normally do it. When we asked about wives' social support strategies, they emphasized that if the wife made it a team effort, let's do this together, let's change together, they were more willing to do so. And if the wife just offered, again, more encouragement and attaboys for doing things. So in one example, the wife viewed it as a competition to get him to lose some weight. She kind of knew the competition would keep me going. I don't know for sure if she really wanted to lose the weight herself, but it was a way for her to help me accomplish my goals. When we asked about social control strategies, the strategies that women tend to use were repetition, persistence. Again, they said persistence, not nagging. Guilt, coercion. So here's kind of a typical example. She'll always ask when we're in the grocery store, do you really need that? Or if I'm eating a bag of chips, she'll say, I'm going to save that for later, because I can go through a whole bag of chips in one sitting. So she'll just ask me questions like that, and that will make me feel a little guilty. And then we wanted to know, because that was kind of, how do you maintain social capital when your wives are telling you to change, you know, and this kind of goes against what we think of as masculine capital. And they say, well, sometimes we procrastinate, we encourage the wife to join us in change, or we just attempt to change. So this was very representative of our sample is that if they felt that the wife really was bringing it up, that they probably had their best interest at heart and that they probably should try to change. So they said, every time my wife gives suggestions, either unwelcome or welcome, I always try my best just to take it. I always want suggestions. I always just try to take it. And if she gives a suggestion, I know she's in my best interest, so I'll just try and do it. Sometimes, you know, I'm a natural male. I'll procrastinate things, but I always try. Men in the study reported not caring about their man card, as we called it. However, even though they said that it wasn't always bore out in the literature or in the things that they said, they really reported wanting to make their spouse happy, and so if something was important to them, they would do it. And they also said that marriage seemed to temper the need to appear masculine in many ways. This wasn't always the case, though, when they were around other men. So there was still some peer pressure to maintain that masculinity or that man card. So Joseph said, every time we had a family get-together with food, it's always like the guys are always having an eating competition. You never want to be the one that doesn't eat as much as the other. Men maintained their masculinity in many other ways. If they were, again, very good at sports, they felt that maintained it. And, again, with other men, that showed that they were masculine. Not showing weakness, especially if hurt or sick. There was lots of stories about that. As Lawrence found, being able to provide for their family was utmost importance, and that's how you showed you were a man. Peer pressure, especially related to physical strength and food, came up. Being sexually attractive was a way to maintain masculinity, going to the gym, working out, looking good. Engaging in masculine-related behaviors, such as hunting and fishing, were ways that they maintained man card, and then winning the war with their spouse. So, basically, this says, I'll let my wife get away with the little things if I can win the war every once in a while. This is where I think that men did definitely show being related to masculinity, gender scripts, traditional ones. A lot of discussion on not going to seek out health care, as we know from the literature. Men said, I don't get sick. Real men tough it out. If I'm sick, I'm just going to sleep it off. I don't see doctors. You can take me to the doctor when I pass out, and it takes away from me being a provider. If I spend money on health care, then I'm taking away from my family, so I'm not going to do it. Okay. This was, a pretty poignant quote here. When you've done something really stupid and you've hurt yourself, but you don't want to show that, you've hurt yourself, because that would be showing weakness, and especially if it's not in front of your male children. So kind of the socialization continues. Okay. Marriage can help men's health, and that definitely they were less engaging in risk behaviors, getting rid of the motorcycle, not going rock climbing, things like that. The responsibility to the family was more important than engaging those activities. They did engage in more health-promoting behaviors in general. Wives provided more increased emotional support and spiritual support, and they made better decisions related to diet. How marriage might have hurt men's health in our study was, again, lack of available time to engage in things like physical activity. Some men reported they eat worse after marriage than before. And the role strain of being a married man really caused many men a lot of stress. Trying to understand wives' moods and emotions was very stressful to the newly married. So we found a strong relationship that this new model we felt worked out. That, yes, family relationships did influence how they perceived their own masculinity, less risk, more focus on being a provider. So they did internalize those gender scripts. Time and time again, they said, we want our wives' social support and social control. Some men in the study did not really have that. They said, my wife doesn't care what I eat. My wife doesn't care what I do. I'm jealous of you guys. So that social support and control was really desired and appreciated, at least for this set of men. Okay, and so, again, it may motivate men to engage in more healthy behaviors, but it can also influence men to not take care of them in other select ways. I think it would be really interesting to look at, now that we have same-sex marriage in so many states, is it marriage that is health protective, or is it the women that are health protective? Who knows? But that'll be an interesting line of research in the future. We did have some limitations, of course. It was a volunteer sample. It lacked religious, racial, and socioeconomic status diversity. It was mostly young, newly married. white LDS college students. And some research has found that in focus groups, men may portray a more exaggerated view of masculinity in these, just again, that peer pressure. I didn't really see that in our study, but it's a possibility. Okay, thank you.